Hi, I would like to thank everybody for joining us today. My name is Joe Matthews. This is going to be our first podcast for Renewed Life Church, and we're doing this to try to get our community a little bit more information, not only about our church, but about some of the things that are happening in our community. And today we do have Mark Abeda. He is the principal over at Phoenix Christian for the middle school. And we also have one of our members, Joey. And Joey has many roles. He is the new high school Bible teacher over at Phoenix Christian. Congratulations, Joey.
I'm excited.
He is also one of the associate pastors over at Renewed Life Church. And he is an alumni at from Phoenix Christian. So, you know, he's going to be able to speak a lot about what we're going to be speaking about today. And that's going to start off with Phoenix Christian. Mark, you want to kind of tell us about that?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to come and share. This is actually really exciting. And we're hoping that this will reach to many, many families and ears throughout the Peoria community and beyond. But my role, so 4 years ago, my wife and I, we were looking for a Christian school to take our kids to. They were entering high school, and we crossed paths with Phoenix Christian Preparatory. In a really God moment, I was through that tour of the campus. I met the superintendent of the school, and after a lunch with him, our family, we loved the school, and he said, "Hey, we have an opportunity we need a middle school principal. We'd love your resume. Are you willing to come and talk to us?" And long story short, I spent 4 years as a middle school principal, and it's been an amazing journey. And as I've been there at Phoenix Christian, I became very aware of different opportunities and programs. So my goal is to take this information and try to get it out to as many families as possible who may otherwise think that Christian private education is unreachable or unobtainable. We want other families to know that it is 100% possible for you to send your kids to a Christian preparatory school absolutely free. And we'll talk at the end, I think, a little bit more about what those opportunities actually look like. But if I could, Joe, just share quickly my journey in education. So grew up in a low middle class family. Dad was a plumber by trade. Mom cleaned houses. Dad was military, Air Force. He decided to come back, do Army Reserves, and he worked lots of overtime. My parents' goals were to get my sister, who's a couple years older than I am, and myself a private education. So they worked hard, put every penny into it. We had a modest 1,000-square-foot townhome. My sister and I shared a bedroom all the way till I was at the age of 20 years old. I mean, that sounds crazy nowadays, but that's what it was.
Yeah.
And there were, you know, I grew up not realizing we didn't have a lot. I just kind of thought that's just the way life was. Mm-hmm. But then as I got older, realized that, oh, yeah, there were plenty of weeks where we were eating beans and potatoes and beans and rice and potatoes and rice, right? It was just, you know, those three main ingredients. And looking back and knowing, like, you know, we always shopped at Payless shoe store. We didn't get the Nikes and the good shoes, right? So my parents, though, their emphasis wasn't on things. It was on education. So they worked extremely hard. They sent my sister and I to a Christian school that's actually no longer in existence, but it was called Northwest Christian Academy. Mm. And it was off of Thunderbird and 43rd Avenue. In fact, okay. Pure Heart Church is there now. Yep. Everybody drives by Pure Heart Church there. That was the old campus of Northwest Christian. And my parents did everything they could to keep us there. So two children going to private school. I went up through sixth grade. My sister went up through eighth grade. And at that point, even though my dad working all the overtime, my mom cleaning many homes, trying to scrape together funds, it was no longer obtainable. And so we were pulled. We got pulled out. Mm-hmm. We fell victim to the rising prices and ended up having to go to a public school system after that. And so there was a very big difference for me going from a private Christian school to a public school right across the street. First and foremost, just the academic rigor. Mm-hmm. When I get to class and they're teaching, I go to math class, wait a second, I learned this 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and so for me, it actually sent me on a spiral where I And it's unfortunate. I kind of, because I breezed through it, mm-hmm. I stopped kind of learning, right? I stopped that hunger for learning. And for me, it was just easy, easy, easy. Focus on sports, easy education, and just get through it. Mm-hmm. And I lost a little bit of focus of you go to school to get the education, right? So you can be something great, that whatever God has for you. And so nowadays with opportunities that are available financially for families, my goal is to get other families that perhaps were in our situation, mm-hmm. my situation, to get them to realize there's opportunity for your kids. Because, and you both know, you've been in education, both of you, what's happening in our public school systems is actually really sad.
It is. I mean, I'm definitely in agreement with that, because most schools teach for that state test, which is just only preparing the kids to work in a warehouse, to work in a call center, and they don't have that aspiration to become doctors, to become engineers and things. And I really have to say that my experience really kind of mirrors yours, because my mom was a single mom, and she was working very hard to try to get us into the private schools. And my private school was Laurel Hall. It was a Lutheran school. And in fourth grade, that's when I had to go into the public school system. However, by the grace of God, I took a test and they said I was gifted. So I was able to go into this gifted program, which was really different for me, because when I was in the private schools, it was kind of, I was coddled. Mm. And then all of a sudden, I was put in this situation where they really tried to push you. And at one point, I actually was, there was this math contest for the city of Los Angeles, and I came in third in the whole city. And I did not even understand how I did so well. But eventually I graduated from what they call the North Hollywood Zoological Magnet, and I was going to school at the zoo every day. But I really didn't appreciate the opportunities and everything until I started getting into education myself and realizing that even though I thought it was very difficult to do the private schools nowadays, I see the complete difference between the private and public schools. Because working in certain public schools, especially the Title I schools, yes, you see where the need is.
Yes.
However, unfortunately, a lot of times in the administrations of these public schools, the funds are being misspent. They're not going to where they need to go, into the classroom. And so that's why I really feel that private schools are really important. Now, Joey, would you like to share your story?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of interesting hearing both of your stories. Mine's like the complete opposite, flipped of that. I kind of stumbled into a good Christian education. So me growing up all the way through elementary school in the public school, just because my parents, you know, didn't grow up in a Christian home, that was never even a thought process. And then coming out of junior high, kind of a third party agency kind of Christian ministry said, hey, we can get you scholarships to go to a Christian school. Do you want to go? And I'm like, sure, why not? No real thinking of the future, just like fun opportunity. Let's go after it. And so I find myself in this Christian, you know, environment on scholarship completely for free, and not knowing just how blessed of an opportunity that is. It took me a while to adjust, because coming from the public school and stepping into this Christian environment was very different. There's a dress code. What is that? There's a Bible class. What is that? Never read the Bible before. And it took me a few years to adjust, but by my junior year of high school, I'm just like, okay, this is actually very important, and I'm very blessed. And so I began to take it more seriously, and it completely transformed my life. I'm the only person in my family that went to college, due very, very much in large part to the Christian environment at the school, and just all the extra, you know, help I got, and I'm sure a lot of prayers. And so, yeah, I think my story is a little bit flipped. Started off in the public and then later went to the Christian environment. Totally transformed my life. So.
That's beautiful because, you know, I know that you did the sermon yesterday in mm-hmm. at the church. Yeah. And it was an awesome one, I have to say.
Thank you.
And to see how the Lord has worked in your life to the point of where, I mean, and if anybody has a chance, you know, you should check that sermon online because he did an excellent job. He just really reached a lot of hearts yesterday. And, you know, I appreciate everything that he was saying. And, you know, from where you started to now is just, your testimony means so much to people, yeah. And I really love it.
Yeah, it's a night and day difference. It was interesting yesterday. I had a lot of my family come, and like I said, my family, they're not from a Christian background. And so afterwards, I was able to go with some of my family, kind of had like a barbecue afterwards, and they were all just like, you are very different than all the rest of us. and I'm, you know, obviously trying to share the gospel and encourage them and be like, God can transform you too.
That's right. Yeah.
But they can see the difference, and that ties into our conversation. It's due largely to the Christian education I've been able to receive. One of my uncles, actually, we were talking, he said he was a high school dropout and talking about his journey. He's obviously much older now. And he told me a couple of things, but I was trying to encourage him, like, yeah, I didn't take anything seriously academically or school-wise until my junior year of high school. The first book I ever actually read was the Bible. My junior year, up until that point, you know, all the way up through eighth grade, I was a terrible student. I would cheat. I would do all the stuff you're not supposed to do. Lord, forgive me. And then I get into this Christian environment, and I'm still trying to adjust. I'm still not a good student. And then finally, my junior year, it's like, okay, let me actually apply myself. These people around me, they care about me. They want me to do well. They're going to support me. And then I start actually trying, and it's like, oh, I can read. And I'm reading the Bible, and this is important. So my family was very encouraging yesterday, kind of affirming, you know, you've come a very long way.
So. That's awesome.
You know, Joey, your story is the story we want, right? Yeah. That's the story we want people to hear. Because I think for many families, for many people, again, private education, that's for a certain type of demographic or a certain culture or whatever, right? Whatever that stigma is. But it is there and it is available and there is opportunity for students from anywhere and everywhere to come and receive a Christian education. And that's the message we want to get out. So I began teaching in 1998. God had called me about 4 years earlier. I wanted to be a lawyer. God said, that's your plan. My plan is for you to be a teacher. And I said, no, God, please, no. the salary difference between a lawyer and a teacher are quite polar opposites. But I knew God was calling me. So went, changed majors, got my degree in education, started teaching. Since 1998, I primarily worked only in Title I schools. Mm-hmm. And for two reasons. One, because there was so much need in those schools. There was also a lot of opportunity.
Yeah.
Now, the hard part is when you're in public school, as every Christian knows, is how do you share the good news and share truth that you know comes directly from God's word in an environment where you're not allowed to share God's word? And that became the hard part mm-hmm. because kids come to you, families come to you with issues, problems, concerns. You know what the answer is, but how do you deliver that in an environment where it's very hush-hush when it comes to religion, Christianity, faith, God, Jesus, right? All those things. It's so much so that I became so good at finding my ways through that when I did finally get hired on at Phoenix Christian 4 years ago as the principal, I remember it's a funny story, but I remember a student came in, they had gotten in trouble. The student comes to my office, we talked about it, and I sent the kid back out. And then right away, the Holy Spirit says, what are you doing? And I paused for a second. And I was like, what do you mean? What am I doing? And he says, you didn't pray with the kid. Mm-hmm. You didn't give him any scripture. You just talked about the issue and you sent him back. Mm-hmm. And it was, I had been trained to not do that, to not pray, to not read the Bible, to not give truth, right? So mm-hmm. that first year for me was quite a learning process where, no, now I can actually pray with these kids and we can go to God's word. And what does God's word say about that situation, that problem? And it's a whole different perspective a student receives in a Christian school versus a public school. And I've seen it firsthand. And these last 4 years, oh my gosh, they have been the best, most amazing years of my teaching profession, specifically because of the opportunity I have to not only teach math, science, English, writing, and all the core subjects, but to bring in that faith component where we're not beating kids over the head with the Bible, teaching them religion. We are reading the Bible and we're pointing them to the answer, Jesus Christ.
And that's really beautiful, because I really feel that, especially nowadays with everything that's going on, there's a lot of fear out there, for one thing. And we shouldn't be afraid, because it, when we have that foundation in the Bible, we understand what's going on, and mainly that we have to trust in God.
That's right.
You know, not our own understanding, because I don't think anybody really understands what's going on nowadays. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to, because we have that trust. Yeah. And so, you know, I think it's really beautiful that way. Now, Joey, one thing I really loved about, you know, what you were saying is how your family has reacted mm-hmm. to you. Because I know that, especially when we do go out there, just like in the schools, speaking the name of Jesus is not always accepted. I mean, I've even been reprimanded for speaking his name and told I couldn't speak one religion. And I'm like, okay, if that's what you want. You know? Yeah. However, I think it's necessary, because so many kids are comforted as soon as you speak his name. And even in our Bible study for the kids over at the church, we've been going over apologetics. And it's not about apologizing, but teaching them how to be defenders. Mm-hmm. You know, give them that knowledge to be able to answer the questions when they have those. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why I really think that the Christian education from Phoenix Christian is necessary for a lot of these kids.
Absolutely. You know, the one thing about Phoenix Christian Preparatory School that is unique when we look at Christian education in the Valley is Phoenix Christian is currently the only, we call it missional Christian school, whereby what that really means is that you don't have to, I was going to put it in layman's terms, you don't have to be a Christian mm-hmm. to attend. Typically, a covenant Christian school, you have to have a proclamation of faith, you have to have letters of reference from your pastors, there's a certain criteria that you have to meet in order for your kid to be accepted. And not that Phoenix Christian doesn't have criteria, because we obviously do. But one of those things that we talked about as a school was, you know what? We want to welcome students into our school and surround them with instructors, faculty, staff that love Christ, that love God, that are solid Christians, that will love on these kids, pray for these kids, encourage these kids, become mentors to these kids. And this is the benefit, right? This is the benefit for students, where they need adult role models. They need teachers that yes, will lead them, encourage them, but also have that faith piece mm-hmm. and encourage them to develop their own relationship with Jesus Christ, right? And so Phoenix Christian is very unique in that aspect, in that I would say 60 to 65% of our kids do attend church regularly. Mm-hmm. They are involved in their local churches, but there's that 35 to 40% of kids that do not. And we know, but we're intentional with that. That's why we hired great teachers like Joey here, is we understand that kids may never read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, mm-hmm. but they read us.
Exactly.
And so it's important for us to hire high quality educators who love Christ, because we get to influence them and introduce them to the gospel. Just like Joey said, he was the Bible. What's the Bible, right? When he came, he's like, I don't know. What is this, right? But it was a journey. It was a process for them. And look where it's taken him now, right? Full circle. Mm-hmm. And now he's back in those same classrooms. Now he's not, you know, receiving it. He's now delivering the good news to students who maybe were just like him in the same exact situation. That's unique to Phoenix Christian. That's what we love about it. Does it get messy sometimes? Sure. Right? Absolutely.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. It has its challenges, you know, but at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit leads us, guides us. It's the Lord's school. And because it's his, we surrender to him. I love the scripture that says, man makes plans in his heart, but God directs his steps. And so we plan the year out. We're in meetings all summer long, and we're putting plans together. But at the end of the day, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to lead us. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a comforting thing for families. And that's, again, that's the good news we want to share today, is that your kid can be in this environment too.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you're so right. I mean, we want to pass that knowledge on, because there's a lot of parents out there that do want the best for their kids.
Absolutely.
And they're afraid of the school districts. I mean, we've all heard about the, you know, controversies like the Isaac School District running out of money. Unfortunately, Peoria High School over here had their little episode, you know, a couple years ago. And it has really taken the trust out of the community and schools and educators. And it saddens me, because the kids need to be in a place where they feel it's a sanctuary, where they feel safe.
Yes.
And also, I really kind of feel, I do feel that they need to know that everything out there that they're learning, God is part of that. You know, God is in science. God is in math. And 100%. The more that you learn about God, the easier life actually becomes. Now, life is not promised to be easy whatsoever. However, it's great when they have that foundation and they can go into the book and find the answers.
Right.
Find that comfort that they're looking for. Because a lot of times, I mean, I really hate to put it this way, but, you know, you have to have a driver's license to drive. You have to have a marriage license to get married. But parents don't have to have a license to have kids. And a lot of them, you know, they have the best meaning in their heart, but they don't know where to go for a lot of the answers.
That's right.
And so Phoenix Christian plays such a great role in the community, being able to say, hey, let us help you raise these kids in a great environment.
Absolutely.
In an environment where you know they're going to be safe and they're going to be guided by people who love them.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's an awesome opportunity.
Yeah, if I can testify to that, you know, a little bit more about my background. For most of my growing up, it was like a single family or single parent type of setting. My dad worked, and so it was me and my older brother. My mom was, she left. And so my dad did the best he could, but what can you do if you're working full-time trying to take care of two kids? And so my brother and I, we kind of followed different paths. He dropped out of school, did a whole bunch of stuff that is not good. And then me, I was able to get that Christian scholarship to go to the school, the whole thing. And so I thank God for the people that kind of stepped in to fill that role, not at all to replace my dad, but to say, hey, we want to help you with your child, to mentor him, build him up, and to transform his life. And my dad has told me how thankful he is for it. And, you know, I'm so thankful that my dad allowed me to take that opportunity, because it could have been easy for him to say, no, that school's kind of far away. I won't get to see you as much. But he said, no, this is a good opportunity. There's going to be people that will love you and help you. And that's kind of what happened. So, yeah.
You know, there's an old saying in education, it takes a village to raise a child. And part of that is a partnership with the local schools, who honestly sometimes spend more time with the kid than some homes and some parents do in the home, right? And not anybody's fault, right? There's some parents that have to go out there and work 2-3 jobs because that's just what they have to do to make it. So no blame there, but the school plays a very important role. And what our hope is that parents will hear this podcast and realize that where I send my kid is crucial to their development.
Oh, yes.
It's crucial. You know, even the Bible itself says, bad company corrupts good morals. Yep. And so we want families to send their kids into an environment where by no means is it 100% perfect. No, not at all. It's still, like, I'm the middle school principal. It's still middle school, uh-huh. right? And these kids are still learning, and they're still growing. And so do we have some issues? Absolutely. But we have the truth of God's word. We have the Holy Spirit to help lead us through and guide us through those situations, which makes all the difference versus a child attending a public school and where they're taken when they mess up or they make a mistake. And so I just think that that's a big – and I did want to ask Joey, because now that he's coming on as a teacher, we talk about this village. And Joey, maybe talk a little bit about the opportunity you as a teacher and what you're excited about for this next 25-26 school year and your role as Bible teacher. Maybe what does that look like for you? I think parents would love to hear a teacher's perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, I'm approaching it with a lot of fear and trembling.
Because, smart man.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's a privilege and it's a responsibility. And I look back at the teachers that I had and just how, you know, how much of a blessing they were to me. And it's kind of a unique thing to now get to step into those shoes and say, okay, now I'm going to get to try to be that blessing to the student. So there's fear and trembling before God, praying, saying, God, help me to be as helpful to these students, because I don't know what they need. I don't know where they're coming from. You know, some of the students, they're going to have a great family. Some of the students, they're going to come from a similar background like me where, you know, they're by themselves a lot and they've got to figure things out the hard way. And so I'm praying, Lord, give me guidance to help each student how they need to be helped best. And the thing I'm really excited for is the students that were in that situation like me, kind of rough around the edges, to get to introduce them to the basics and say, hey, this is what the Bible is. This is who God is. This is why it matters for you. And here's how it can transform your life. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, I'm an example of that. So this isn't just theory. This isn't just, hey, this could happen. It's no, this will happen if you follow the Lord. So I'm very excited about that.
That's awesome. You know, and I know that right now, you know, we have been reaching out to a lot of families because, you know, there are opportunities for them to be able to come to Phoenix Christian and, you know, be able to get that help with the financial part. And some of the families that I've spoken with, you know, a lot of them have said, just like you said, it's so far. Mm-hmm. However, you know, God will make a way mm-hmm. as long as we step out of the way. Because a lot of times we do have those fears and we can make a lot of reasons on why we aren't accepting these blessings. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was watching The House of David the other day and, you know, they talked about how God is the author of the story. And a lot of times we just have to let him write that story, you know, and stop trying to make notes in between the lines there.
Yeah, you know, Joe, I'm glad you brought up the transportation thing, because even for my family, and remember this is, I was born in 75, so you're talking about from the year 1980 to 1986, 87, when I was attending the private school. We lived on 43rd Avenue in Glendale. And the school's on 43rd Avenue and between Thunder and Greenway. Mm-hmm. And my mom drove a 1972 Volkswagen Beetle with no AC. And, you know, it was part of the sacrifice, right? The sacrifice, they understood it. They knew whatever it takes, we got to get our kids to school every single day. Was it hard? Absolutely. I remember conversations of, can we put $2 of gas in? You know, that's back when $2 of gas got you about three gallons, right? There was times where it was very difficult for my parents to take us to school, but they found a way. And I think that there has to be some tenacity. There's some grit on the parents' part, yeah. Knowing that there may be a few things that are going to be tough, but it's for the kids. It's for your kids. And what better investment than in your children? And just on a total sidebar, I know we've been talking, Joe, I think we're very hopeful and optimistic that We might even be able to get a van route up here into the Peoria, downtown area, Peoria, or to the Renewed Life Church, and we'll get the address later on. And give those families, again, if they don't have a vehicle, they can't make it down to that central corridor area, an opportunity for transportation to get those kids and transport them. So there's different things that God's going to open up for us. Mm-hmm. Our job is to spread the good news, spread the word, and then allow God to fill all the pieces that he has to, right? And he will, because God's good like that.
Oh, yeah, God is really good. And, you know, it's, you know, I just love how you explain that, because with a lot of parents, they feel like they're missing those pieces of the puzzle. And to know that there's a school like Phoenix Christian that's willing to come alongside them, because especially when you're talking about guys, when you say Phoenix Christian, they just know about sports, what they read in the paper, you know, yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things that is, you know, the way they think about it. They just really focus on that, but Phoenix Christian's so much more. I mean, the sports program is great. Absolutely. However, there's more to Phoenix Christian than just that opportunity. Yeah. And so, you know, you don't have to be a athlete in yeah. order for them to help you out.
So I know Joey played football at PC, and you're right, there's lots of accolades we go down throughout the year. I remember even when I was in high school, I remember hearing Phoenix Christian, they were a powerhouse in football. And they were a small school that was beating, at that time, 5A was the biggest we had, beating all the 5A schools and competing, you know, with some of these bigger, larger schools. And it's still a great sports program. Everything from, you know, from football to volleyball to baseball to basketball, our golf program, on and on and on. We still thrive in those areas, but we also thrive in the fine arts. We just hired on a wonderful new fine arts director. He's bringing a lot of change and a lot of momentum with him. But we have band, we have choir, we have worship team, we have strings, we have traditional art, we have theater. For those that are more science-oriented, we have an amazing STEM teacher, Miss Jewel. She does an amazing work. They compete in 4 or 5 competitions every year. In fact, 2 years ago, we had our middle school team that went to the largest national robotic competition in the country. I believe it's in Ohio. They competed and took 2nd place in the entire country in combat robot and 3rd wow. place in robot cool. hockey. I mean, wow. These are significant accomplishments.
Robot hockey, huh?
Robot hockey. Yeah. Robot hockey. And again, this is what we want parents to hear. Yes, sports for those that love sports. Science for those that love science. We have arts for those who love the arts, and those that just love the humanities and maybe are being called to ministry and pastoralship, we have that for you too, right? Opportunity, and especially, and I got to plug this obviously because I'm middle school. I've been in education since 1998. Mm-hmm. I've seen and I've been to, I don't know, goodness, I couldn't even count how many schools. I have never seen a middle school that offers more opportunity to its students than Phoenix Christian. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And there's something for everybody. Joey was talking about, you know, as a teacher, the way he's going to approach that. And I think one of the most important things we talk about as a administration is this. We want every kid to have 3 connect points with our school. And those are human connect points. Mm-hmm. We don't want kids to come to our school and just be a student ID number. Just be, in the eyes of administration, a $12,000 kid of tuition. We want to know our kids. We want to support our kids. At least 3 points of contact are strategic in that it could be a coach. It could be the band teacher. Mm-hmm. It could be an administrator. It could be one of our wonderful counselors that we have on campus. But we want every kid to have 3 people that have a touch point with that kid, because it's so important. We are built for relation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We as humans, we're built for a relation, and we don't want kids coming to our school, put their 8 hours in and leave. We want them to come, stay, and it actually happens. I don't know if Joey can attest to this or not, but we have kids will stay till 8, 9 o'clock at night, and they're just hanging out. And you know why? Wow. Because it's a safe place.
Yeah.
Because they're safe. They know they're in an environment that they're loved. And sometimes we have to get, okay, we love you guys, but you guys got to go. We got to go home. You got to go. Right. Joey, can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, as we were talking about, you know, the different opportunities Phoenix Christian offers, I was an athlete. I like to think I was a decent one. But yeah, so I played
football. We've heard you were a good athlete.
Good.
That's what I heard too.
Yeah, whoever's telling you that, I'll keep paying them. But yeah, so I played sports, and so by nature of playing football specifically, you know, practices were long for us. We were pretty competitive whenever I was there, and so we'd be there, you know, pretty late every day, and then afterwards in the locker room just kind of hanging out with the team, having fellowship and things like that. We would eventually have to get kicked out, like, hey, you need to go home because you got school tomorrow. So it was a great environment. So the touch point with the coaches for sure was huge, in the weight room every day with the coaches, things like that. So that was a major touch point. But then also with the teachers.
Yeah.
I've been able to maintain some of those relationships. After I graduated, one of the teachers I had, he actually retired the same year I graduated. Mr. Callahan is his name. This Friday, I think it was his 73rd birthday.
Oh, wow.
And so I call him every year on his birthday because that's just how much of an impact he's made on me.
It's beautiful.
He was a Bible teacher, and now I get to be a Bible teacher. Wow. So it's kind of funny. So I call him every year and, hey, Mr. Callahan, happy birthday. And that's the touch point. That's the relationship. Yeah.
And I think that's a good point because, you know, I think especially when you have had a meaningful education, you can remember those teachers that really kept you in there, because there was a time when I was, it was my seventh grade year, and it was a very difficult time because my stepdad committed suicide and I found him. A week later, my grandfather died, and he meant so much to me. That he was a man that actually grew up on the reservation, and he taught me so much. And then about 6 months later, my actual father died.
Oh, wow.
And so there were a couple of years there where I didn't even want to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just kind of sick of it. I didn't understand. And then I had this teacher, Miss Gill, who she was one of those ones that understood that she had to be harder than I was in order to get into this hard head. And in fact, one day we were going, we had this class that we had to do, and we were going to the reptile house. I hated snakes. And so I told her, I'm not going to be here that day. And she's like, if you don't go to that day, I'm going to fail you. That was very hurtful because I had an A in the class. I'm like, you can't do that. She goes, yes, I can. And so I went, and I was standing in the back the whole way. I just like, yeah, you guys go ahead, learn about this stuff. I'm way back here. And then at the end of it, the guy goes, and behind that guy back there are two spitting cobras.
Oh, boy.
And I turned around. I saw these, you know, spinning cobras looking right at me, and I just knew that if you made eye contact, they were aiming for your eyes. And so I ran so fast, not knowing that she had set the whole thing up. She had the snakes milked right before we came in, and she was just like, this is perfect. But I would never forget her, because that's the type, I knew that she cared enough about me that she was never going to let me give up. She was always going to push me forward. And eventually, I was recruited by Harvard. I was recruited by Stanford, Texas A&M. I mean, all these different schools were wanting me, and I got to give her a lot of that credit,
yeah.
You know, because she was the one that kept me going.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I want to share a quick story of a teacher that I had. Now, again, we're talking about Christian education, sixth grade teacher. Again, I already shared how we didn't have a lot. We never bought name brand. We didn't buy Cheerios. We bought Tostios in the bag, right? We didn't buy Fruit Loops. We bought the Tutti Frutti's, right? And so I remember we're shopping for school supplies, entering my sixth grade year, and we're getting some crayons. And my mom says, go ahead and get the Crayolas, which those are the name brand. And, of course, I'm losing my mind. I'm going to get Crayolas? Oh, my goodness. So I go and I get I remember very, very clearly it was a pack of 24 crayons. And I'm on cloud 9. because I got Crayolas. Well, the first day of school, I remember art was toward the end of the day, and Mr. Feta placed my teacher. He says, all right, kiddos, pull out your art supplies. And back then we had our little boxes. And you take your box out of your backpack, you open your box, and you pull out your stuff. And I remember I was just so excited to pull out my 24-pack of Crayolas. And I pull it out, and I lay it down, and I look around, and Crayola had just come out with a 64-pack with a sharpener in the back.
Oh, man.
I remember those.
You remember those? Yeah. And every kid had one. Every single kid. And I guess Mr. Fedeplay saw it on my face. Just the instant, oh my, I don't have that. Next day, in the morning, Mr. Fedeplay says, Mark, come here. So I go over to his desk, and he says, he opens his door. He goes, I got something for you. He opens his bottom drawer and pulls out a brand new 64-pack with the sharpener, box of Crayolas. So cool. That I don't remember what he ever taught me. I know he taught me. I know he taught me well because I did good in school. So I know he taught me ELA. That was a self-contained classroom. I know he taught me math. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you anything specifically that he taught me, but I will never forget the way he made me feel when I reached it, when he pulled out that box of crayons and said, these are yours, right? This is the difference of a Christian education and teachers who follow the leading of Christ and have the Holy Spirit in their lives and have compassion and love for their kids. Our teachers, as Joey knows, are significantly underpaid, right? They're paid less than even the public schools, which are, they're underpaid.
Yeah.
So our teachers in public schools are underpaid. Teachers in Christian schools are even further underpaid. So you have to ask yourself.
Yeah, you don't teach for the money.
100% no, you don't. Sure. And so you have to ask yourself, well, then why do they do it, right? What if it's not for the money? Why? And I think Joey would agree with me that it's a calling. Mm-hmm. It's what God has called you to do. And you answer the call. And God takes care of the rest. I mean, I have a family. My wife's actually here in the room with me. I have two kids. They're both in college. One's at Phoenix College. One's going to ASU next semester. I don't know how we're going to pay for all that, Joe, but you know what? I'm not worried about it. It's in God's hands.
Exactly.
And God's going to provide. Now, that doesn't mean I'm just going to sit there and do nothing and just pray for manna to fall out of the air. But I know ultimately that God's got his hand on my family and that God's going to take care of it. So, again, the teachers that we have at Phoenix Christian, the number one box they have to check is do they love kids and do they have a solid relationship with Christ? It's so important, Joe.
It really is. It really is because, you know, I've been in a lot of different school situations. And in Los Angeles, I was in a lot of private schools. One was Merman School for the Highly Gifted, where the kids in kindergarten had to have an IQ of 130 or higher. Oof. I mean, Einstein's grandson was there and things like that. I was also part of Harvard Westlake, where, you know, the things that they had available weren't even available at UCLA at the time. I mean, I remember they had an environmental chamber before a lot of the universities had an environmental chamber. And then when I came out here, and at first I was kind of doing the corporate world thing, and it was great. I mean, I even worked for the Cardinals in the locker room for a while. But when he put in my heart to go back to education, and I started at schools like Maryland School and the Washington School District, where you saw these kids, and it's happening with a lot of the campuses right now, where as soon as schools close, you're supposed to just go home, and they don't have anywhere to go. So they end up in the streets, and they end up not having a place to do things. So, you know, a big thing that I've always tried to do is I tried to give them after-school classes, after-school programs. Back then, we used to go across the street at Washington Park, and three times a week, I put them through basketball drills. It was all free to the kids because I preferred them to spend those 2 hours after school with me just to give their parents a chance to get home in a safe place, being productive. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, I might get a call from the Fry's on the corner saying, hey, do you have these kids at your school? Because, you know, yesterday they were causing havoc and we can't get a hold of parents. Well, unfortunately, the schools are sending them home. The parents aren't home yet. And if you don't give the kids an opportunity to be guided, they're going to go find guidance from the wrong places. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why, you know, I love the fact that you said some of those kids are there till 8, 9 o'clock because they feel safe.
They do.
You know, and, you know, I think that it's awesome that you guys are giving them the opportunity to have that safe place.
Yeah, I know one of the things we always talk about in middle school, and I always, especially in a new student interview today, a little bit after this, I encourage families and students, get involved. The more you're involved, the more fun, the more exciting that middle school experience is going to be for you. The more family connection you're going to have. We call it, in middle school, we call it a brotherhood and a sisterhood. So you develop that, especially, I mean, we're all three of us in here are athletes. Sports is one of the primary ways you can accomplish that.
Oh, yeah.
Is you build that brotherhood. And I love that middle school plays tackle football, the first sport for boys, and for our young ladies, volleyball is the first sport. And I love it because football is probably the ultimate, you know, guy bonding brotherhood sport where you're going to build that, right?
Amen to that.
I wasn't a football player, but I do agree with that statement, right? And so what it does right from the very beginning, you know, Joe, I was middle school teacher for 4 years, and in 4 years, we didn't have one fight. We had two instances where students brought a vape pen to school. That was handled immediately. That was taken care of. We hold the line of expectation of what we're going to do, what is allowed, and the parameters from which all students can operate within. And by doing that, by setting this high standard, what we have found is that when you hold the high standards, the kids will meet that standard. And I'll give you a good illustration. If I were at the beginning of the year to pull a kid and say, I want you to jump as high as you can, and we're going to mark it. You get 3 tries to jump as high as you can. You jump once, they jump twice, and I say, okay, this is the last one. Get as high as you can. That student runs and he jumps, and he touches as high as he can on that wall. And then I'll say, did you jump as high as you could? Is that all you had? He's like, yeah, I gave it all I had. Then I'll say, hold on. I'll pull out a $20 bill. I'll say, I'm going to give you one more chance. If you can go higher, you get the $20 bill. You know, every single time, that kid's going to jump higher, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So setting the expectation is so important.
Yes.
And what happens is when we tell kids, hey, we're going to win in the classroom. Then we're going to win in the practice field. And then we're going to win in the games. And that process leads to championships. Mm-hmm. It leads to victories. Now, we know we can't bring home every single trophy and every single plaque. That's unreasonable. Not going to happen. But last year we brought home 5, Joe. 5 championships in middle school, right? And what our goal is to continue to build the middle school program so that our high school sports continue to grow. Because 80% of your teams in high school are coming from your middle school. Mm-hmm. And that's just one aspect of it, right? That's just a sports aspect. But it's the expectation, that winning mentality. If we serve a Christ, Joe, I've said this to you before. If we serve a Christ who's victorious in every single way and we're image bearers of him, then we're to reflect victory as well.
Exactly.
And you can win in losing. You know, I'll give you a good example. My first year as a principal at Phoenix Christian, our girls team, for whatever reason, our girls basketball team just wasn't up to par. And bless their hearts, they were playing a team that was just a lot more skilled. The score at halftime was something like 47-4. And I'm not exaggerating. We were on the bad end of that, right?
Ouch.
Oof. Now, here's the thing. The final score ended up being like 70-11, and that was them showing a lot of mercy on us. Uh-huh. That next day, I called those girls into my office, and I said, hey, I want to thank you all for winning yesterday. And they looked at me like I was crazy. They said, Mr. Beta, we lost. Did you see the score? And I said, yeah, but you know what I saw too? You guys never gave up. I go, I've played sports, and I know that usually when you start losing and losing bad, you start blaming one another. Mm-hmm. You start pointing fingers at each other. Yeah. You start getting mad at your teammates. Not once did I see you guys get upset with each other. You didn't quit. You kept playing as hard as you could. You shook the other team's hands at the end of the game and told them good game, and you're going to show up for practice today. Mm-hmm. That's winning. And those girls left a big old smile and a perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what we want to teach our kids. This is a tough world they're going to go into. It's a sinful, fallen, tough world. They have to be strong mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially. And it is part of the school's job is to help cultivate that entire child and prepare them for what they're going to face in the world. Can't do without Christ, though.
Can't. I don't see how anybody really can teach well without teaching God. Yeah. You know, because he's in everything. And we're in a society, we're in a world right now that wants to try to take him out. Mm-hmm. But no, if we want success to happen, we really have to teach that. Because I was blessed to, early in my career, I happened to meet John Wooden. And from that meeting, it really... I poured myself into the pyramid of success. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he really, and he told me that first time I ever met him, was success is peace of mind of doing everything you're capable of doing every single day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've always tried to tell the kids that that's where it starts, is you have to do everything you're capable of doing. Don't do the minimum.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get by. However, if every day you are giving your best, you're always going to be successful. Yeah. And you'll see the fruits of your labor come out. And the championships will roll through. I love championships. I love every time I win one. But I know it doesn't define me.
That's right.
You know, what defines me is what I do every day when I get up. Put him first and listen to what he has to say. Let him guide me. And again, you know, it still is going to take effort. I still have to show that industriousness where hard work is beautiful, but you have to also have that preparation, because hard work without, you know, a plan, that's just going to, you're going to just wear yourself out. And to have the plan without working hard, well, it's a great idea. They both have to come together, you know. And thankfully, God allows us to do that.
Yeah.
You know, within him, we could do anything.
And I think that starts, I mean, the younger we can start that process with children, the more impact and the better chance, I think. I don't know, maybe not, chance is probably not the right word, but the more success we're more likely to see with that kid as they continue to grow older. Mm-hmm. You know, Phoenix Christian serves literally all the way from infant all the way to 12th grade. And so our preschool program, they're amazing. I mean, when you talk about them teaching kids from that can barely talk, right? And they're playing music, and it's Christian music for the kids and Christian songs, almost like VBS style, right? And the work that they do with children that are coming into our elementary school at kindergarten, a lot of these kids are already have a foundation of who Jesus is, what God's word means, right? And you're like, they're 5 years old, Mark. There's no way. Well, I'm telling you, I've seen it. Our preschool does an amazing job working with these families. And then our elementary school continues to grow them, right? Grow them, grow them, grow them. We get them in middle school, 6th through 8th grade, grow them, grow them, grow them. Then they get into high school, 4 years of growth, and more, and then you kind of get to like where you're getting a lot more solid in your faith, a lot more where you're able to reason, you're able to defend your faith, right? Getting them really a very solid foundation to build the rest of their adult life on. It's a process. Mm-hmm. And the sooner we can get them in, the more likely we're going to have success with those particular students, and they're going to live a life that's going to honor God. It's going to be a fruitful life. It's going to be remember, God's Bible says in Romans, it says God's will for us is good, pleasing, and perfect. Yes. Well, that's what I want for my kids. I want them to follow God's will for them because I know it's going to be good, perfect, and pleasing. So that's the story, Joe. And I think that you know, there's lots of great Christian schools out there, and families can definitely you know, choose the one that's best for their family. But Phoenix Christian is definitely unique in our mission statement and what we offer. We don't pretend to be anything that we're not. Sometimes it's daily. We're trying to figure some things out. But at the end of the day, we're going to always point those kids toward Jesus Christ, and we're going to give them the best education we can possible. We're going to give them opportunities in sports, sciences, fine arts, humanities. Whatever we can do to help these kids succeed in life, that's what we're going to do. And so, I don't know. It's an amazing opportunity, and I'm so glad to have it. And I do really quickly want to talk about the STO program.
Yeah, if you allow me to. Yeah, I was going to mention that.
Yeah, because this is where it happens and where it makes it possible. So if you're a family and you're listening to this and you say, well, that all sounds great, but I heard you say something like $10,000, $12,000. Yes, that is the tuition. And other schools are even higher. Other Christian schools are as high as $28,000 a year. What I want to say to you is that there's two pathways. One, most people are somewhat familiar with now, is our ESAs. Mm-hmm. ESAs are monies that parents can receive from the state, that their local school would receive if they sent their kid to like their local public school. Now, if they choose, the parent can say, hey, I want to send my kid to a private Christian school. So the state would give them about $7,500 of that. Mm-hmm. And then the parents can apply those $7,500 toward the tuition. Now, that still leaves a big gap of about $5,000, right? So,
But it helps.
Yeah. Okay. But the better opportunity is we call corporate tax scholarships. Mm-hmm. And so what ends up happening is large corporations, businesses can send their tax liability specifically to schools. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if I'm an owner of AAA refrigeration and I have a large employees, I have to pay a lot of state taxes. Let's say I have to pay $15,000, $20,000 in state taxes. As a company, I can say, I want these $20,000 of state taxes I'm going to pay to go toward these STO programs, mm-hmm. opportunities for kids to attend the school of their choice. What a blessing that is.
Yes,
and so we have people all over the valley that reach out to these companies and say, hey, why don't you, instead of just letting the state say where that money goes, now it's important. We need other things too. We understand that. But why not invest that into a kid's life that would maybe never be able to go to a Christian school or private school? That now they'll have an opportunity because of the donation you're making. I shouldn't say donation, because you are directing where your tax liability is going to go into education. And those scholarships will cover the full tuition. And so what we really like to now this podcast for the year 25-26 would be a little tougher because we're so late into the year. But what I want parents to know is that if you're really considering this and you hear this message and you say to yourself, that's right, I agree with what they're saying, and I need to get my kids in there. That I'm going to give my number out here in a second, but if you get a hold of me, I can help you, because what we really want to do is start that in January. Mm-hmm. So in January of 2026, we can start working on those scholarships. We come alongside you. We put on workshops. We have days where you come in, and our staff works with you to make sure you're filling things out correctly. The amazing thing, Joe, is that if we can do that in January for the 26-27 school year, there is a really good chance that you will get fully funded mm-hmm. for your kids to attend a Phoenix Christian or a private school of their choice.
And that's beautiful. And you know, we're also going to be having that public informational night.
Yes.
On the 1st at 6 o'clock at Renewed Life Church. And Renewed Life is at 8815 Peoria Avenue, pretty much in downtown Peoria, where we're going to open ourselves up so that people could come in, they can ask questions, so they can gain knowledge. Because I really feel that, especially nowadays, parents need to take control of the children's education. Yeah. I know that there's a lot of negative let's just say, propaganda, complaining about how the public school systems are losing money and everything else. But you know what? That is not really something that is negative. No. That's showing that parents are actually saying, hey, we want to put our money where I know my children are going to get the best opportunity.
Yes.
Where they're not going to be held down, held back, and you're not going to emphasize a test over my child.
Right.
You know, because I do understand the whole rating system and the A+ and everything, but I also, being in education, know that could be very manipulative.
Yeah. Well, real quickly, I'm going to just speak to that real quick, state testing. I want to caution parents with that. Take it with a grain of salt.
Yes.
And here's why. I'll give you two things. Number one, I'm going to talk about my kids in a second, but the first one is this. State testing, standardized testing, really only reaches two different intelligences, a linguistic learner and a mathematical scientific learner. That's it. Yeah. We know from Gardner's seven intelligences in education that there are seven. They've recently added a new one called a natural intelligence. So there's eight intelligences mm-hmm. that your child can have. It only measures two of them. So let me speak on that for a second. I have two kids. I have a blended family. When I met my wife, we each had a child, and our children could not be more polar opposite. My son, brainiac. You give the kid a test, he aces it most times, right? He's just, he hears it one time, he retains it, give him the test. He's that linguistic learner, mathematical logic thinking. He's going to do great on it. My daughter could care less about the standardized test, but you give her a piece of canvas. You give her some charcoal, some paint, and she creates beautiful things, right? It's her intelligence. So I want to caution parents mm-hmm. that just because your kid gets a 90th percentile or scores in the 90th percentile on a standardized test, that doesn't mean your kid's going to be successful.
No.
It's just an indicator that they score very high in one intelligence. And so what we have to do as educators is quit looking at that and start looking at what gifts and talents does each individual student have? And then let's do that. Let's find that niche. And then let's cultivate that gift that God's given them and that they can use that gift for God's glory and to develop some type of professional career, right? But we have to do that, Joe. We have to get away from looking at these standardized test scores and saying that that represents a successful school versus an unsuccessful school. Nothing could be further than the truth. And so this idea is we want parents to come in and recognize that. Now, we still do test our kids. I think it's important that we do show growth academically. Mm-hmm. So, but my thing, Joe, is this. If I get a student that's in the 30th percentile, and by the end of, from sixth grade to eighth grade, at the end of their eighth grade, they're scoring in their 50th percentile, that means in 3 years, they jumped 20 percentiles. That's an amazing growth in 3 years.
It is.
And I would say that that's more successful than if I received a 70 percentile learner, and by the end in sixth grade, and by the time they had graduated eighth grade, they're scoring in the 78th percentile. Well, which one's more successful? The one that went from 70 to 78, or the one that went from 30 to 50? And so, I would say there's probably truth in both. They probably both grew, right? They both grew. There's something they can both be proud of, but it's not the measurement by which we say this kid is our best student, this kid is not. Not at all. God's given us all very different gifts and different talents.
Oh yeah.
And we want to encourage those kids to use those gifts for Christ, for God's glory.
Very true. Very true. And I mean that's exactly, you know, what a good coach would say too, because in order to build a team, you have to recognize everybody's abilities. And they're not all going to have the same abilities.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you can't build that successful team. Right. And so, you know, when you take that into the classroom and understand that every kid learns differently. Mm-hmm. And I always used to say that you could recognize a very good teacher when they can change their styles. Yes. In order to reach that child, because they understand the first time they teach it, that kid may not get it. Mm-hmm. But let's explain it in a different way and see if he can understand it that way.
Right.
And so, you know, it's very important to recognize because, you know, again, you know, with my blended family, I have a stepdaughter. I mean, the way that she can just go to a keyboard and just all of a sudden just start belting things out, I was amazed. I was like sitting there going, okay, I could go like this and hit one note, you know, and it probably would be the wrong note, you know. But, you know, the way that she can do that was just amazing to me. I mean, she was so talented. I mean, making jewelry. I mean, she would come up with so many different ideas, and she just thought so differently than I did. But what I really tried with her is, first of all, I had to listen. You know, as a parent, I had to try to hear her. Because I understood she wasn't like my son. And when I heard her, I had to give her every opportunity to grow. Yeah. You know, give her the tools that she needed to, you know, just express her artistic side.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything I understood. But because I loved her so much, I wanted to see her succeed.
Right.
And that's what most parents feel.
Yeah. You know. Well, that's beautiful. And I just want to encourage every parent who's listening to this, get in contact with either Joe at Renewed Life or myself. I'm going to give my number here in a second. We want to help you at least walk through it, explain it maybe more in detail, meet you at a park and have a conversation. And whether that is you coming to Phoenix Christian or you attending a different private school, choice is power. Choice is power. And so what we want to do is we want to give families the knowledge so that they can make good decisions. In fact, the Bible says that people perish because of lack of knowledge. So we want to give this knowledge about school choice and opportunity to families so that they can make a decision that's best for their families. Do we hope that's Phoenix Christian? 100% we do, right? Mm-hmm. But it might not be. There may be another opportunity out there. But again, that's what the key word, opportunity. And we want families to maximize the opportunity that's before them, and we can help them find that. I think that's what part of the reason why God brought my wife and I, my family, to Phoenix Christian is because I spent all my teaching career in Title I schools, and my heart's for families that are maybe underserved or just have different challenges in their life, and to bring the hope and the good news that comes along with school choice, and of course we know the good news that comes along with attending a Christian school and getting the good news every single day. As you know, for us, Bible is a core subject. Mm-hmm. So you come to Phoenix Christian, you will take a Bible class every single day. And again, it's not beating you over the head, but like Joey mentioned, it's a teacher that's pointing students to the Bible, to the truth that's found in it, and to the person of Jesus Christ and a relationship with him that will transform your life forever. So if I may, can I just give some quick information?
Oh, please do.
So Phoenix Christian Preparatory, we're located at 1751 West Indian School Road. That's in Phoenix. And then my cell number, and what I would ask is that you text me if you want more information. Text me your name, your number, your email, and just put school choice or scholarships. My number is 480-487-4459, 480-487-4459. There is limited opportunity for the 25-26 school year coming up, but definitely as we look forward to the 26-27, which will be here so soon, we'll blink and it'll be here. There's definitely opportunity there, and we want to start as early as January, getting families already into the system, getting these scholarships, the applications in. We teach parents how to do that. We come alongside them. We help them with it. It's a little bit of work, but hey, everything in life's a little bit of work.
It is.
And so you have to push through. This is for your kids. This is for your children. This is for our children. Let's make it happen. We're here to help you.
Yes, that's very true. And for Joey and myself, you can reach us through email. It's at R, the letter R, New Life, newlife.org. Joey is under Joey at Renew Life. I'm under Help at Renew Life. You know, and you can reach out to either of us, and we would be more than happy to try to help you in any way that you, you know, need. Because right now, that's what it's all about. We want to be that beacon in this community. We actually opened up our sanctuary 2 years ago this month. And so since then, it has been a wonderful, wonderful experience. And, you know, we want to not only help people come to find God by coming to our church, by hearing the messages like Joey gave yesterday, but we also want to help them find their way to schools like Venus Christian, where you get that daily feeling of safe, that daily feeling of love, and know what God's grace really is about.
Right.
You know, right now I walk around in the community and I see so many people that I believe would love this opportunity. And this is our chance to try to get out and try to reach them.
That's right.
And so, you know, I really hope that, you know, the people that hear this, even if you don't have kids, tell people about it that do have kids. Let them know, because we all know that by, you know, the word of mouth, parents speaking to parents, grandmothers and grandfathers telling their kids, hey, this is a good opportunity for our grandchildren. Please let them know.
Right.
You know, just spread the word.
Yeah. And I just want to commend a Renewed Life and the work that you guys do. I've been around churches and pastors my entire life. Your pastor, Pastor Eli, I know him pretty well. And you guys do a great job of living out the word. It's one thing to just talk about it. But what Renewed Life does is they put it into action. And that makes a huge difference, especially to community. So if you're out here in the community and you do not attend church and you're not even sure you'd want to go to church, that's okay. I want you to call Joe. I want you to get in touch with Joey. And I'm telling you, this is a family that cares about its community and cares about the people in it. They wouldn't be doing this. I mean, I'm honored that I get to be one of the first people on the podcast.
You are our first guest.
I am the first. To say that. That's what a privilege and honor. I look back 20 years and you guys are famous. Like, I was the first one. Again, it's their heart. It's one of the reasons why I agree to do this, because I see their heart. I see their passion for community. And if you're looking for that small church that really has that intimate feel, it's Renewed Life. So I encourage you to give them a call and give them an opportunity.
Yeah. And you can, you know, also reach me at 623-216-1173. And just like Mark, you know, please just give me that text first. Send your information and everything so I can get back to you. It's not like I'm trying to ignore everybody or anything like that. But, you know, we are trying to, you know, we got a lot with this community, because there's a lot of opportunities we see in the community.
Yes.
And we're constantly trying in so many different ways to get out there and spread the word of what we have been given ourselves.
Right.
You know, I really have to say that for me, he has guided me in so many different ways, and now so many, I mean, I've had my valleys, I've had my, you know, been on top of the mountain, but in each time, I know it's because of him.
That's right.
And I love to just speak to people. So, you know, please contact us. I love to have the conversations. I love to know other people's stories, because I like Joey here. His testimony has inspired me so much. I can't even describe. I mean, and it's beautiful. I'm so happy to know him. And, you know, I have to say that there are some other great people over there. And our pastor, yeah, he's pretty good. I do enjoy him.
He's a good guy.
He is.
We love Pastor Eli.
and if you're listening to this, Eli, you know, there you go. That's
well, that's great. Well, again, just thank you so much. Can I pray us out? Is that okay?
Oh, yes, please do.
All right, God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord, to come and share about you, God, and what you're doing. at Phoenix Christian Preparatory School and other schools around the valley. And God, for many people, that's just a dream. It's not a reality. But Lord, you've opened doors through school choice, through ESAs, God, for corporate scholarships for families that maybe would never ever attend these schools to have an opportunity. And that's what today's been. Today's been about sharing the good news, Lord, of what you provided for them. I pray, God, that you would stir their hearts. I pray, God, I know that change can be tough. I know that it can be hard to kind of wrestle through and navigate all the logistics of changing schools, especially if you have two or three kids, Lord. But I pray that you give us courage. And that, Lord, every family would know that you're with them. And that, Lord, a Christian education, Lord, is just something to strive for. It's something that's going to help their families and help their children grow. It's going to keep them from the harm and evil, Lord, that's out there in the world. And it's going to give them, again, an opportunity to excel and to grow in a Christian environment. So, Lord, as Phoenix Christian aims to form the hearts, educate the minds, and equip the hands in a Christ-led environment, I pray that that would speak to families, Lord, and that if there's any desire there, Lord, would you make a way? Would you prepare Phoenix Christian, Lord, for the families that will come? And, God, we just pray that your hand be upon the Peoria community, upon Renewed Life, and that, God, the partnerships and the opportunities would continue to grow for the church, for the community, God, and that your hand would be upon it. We surrender it all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I'd like to thank you.
Pleasure.
And, you know, hopefully we'll have another opportunity to speak. I want to, again, invite the community to come down on the 1st to Renewed Life. It's going to be at 6 o'clock. We're going to, you know, be out there and just be open to the questions and everything else. And
I'll
in
be
the
there.
Meantime, you know, everybody come out, join us, come meet us. We're happy to, you know, meet with you, talk with you, hear your story. I love to hear people's stories.
Absolutely.
Okay. Have a great day.